In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the first reading from the prophet Jeremiah, again, we hear how God praises the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord and not in man or in the things of man, and that how he will be truly, while all things around him are, you might say, falling apart. He gives the example of a tree planted near running waters, that even though it's a drought, even though it's harsh weather, that the tree will stay green and even bear fruit because it has a source of life that others do not have, that it has an access to life-giving water when all else around it is dying from the drought. And that's like a person who has truly does have the virtue of hope, you know, the supernatural virtue that, you know, we prod, that we trust that, that what Lord, what God has promised that he will fulfill, and that we must remain steadfast and that we will receive our reward. And that's something that we have to keep in mind even in the midst of torments or even in persecution, that the man who has hope, you know, trusts in God, he will remain alive, he will remain spiritually alive and will be rewarded because he realizes where his strength lies is in God and not in material things or in other people. That's something to keep in mind, because in the gospel we also see an example of one who hoped in the Lord, or who was had his sight set on the things of that lie beyond the grave. Lazarus was, although in the worldly standards was a poor man, and in this world was considered to be, you know, much to be pitied, because he even was longing to just have the scraps from the rich man's table. His hope was in the Lord, and he was rewarded when he died and was taken to the bosom of Abraham, which in this time period, you know, the gates of heaven weren't open, but still the righteous who died before our Lord's death on the cross went to a place of waiting, and they didn't suffer any torments there. It was the only torment they had was waiting for the gates of heaven to be opened. And here Lazarus is with Abraham, enjoying his reward for remaining faithful to God during his life. And then the rich man, who had everything he could hope for in this world in the way of material things, but it seems that he was only concerned about himself, very selfish, and did nothing for especially the poor like Lazarus. And he too dies and goes to a place of torment. Those who say that our Lord didn't preach about heaven and hell, or about hell at least, have not read this passage from the Gospel of Luke. For our Lord spells out very clearly in this parable, which St. Augustine says is not a parable in the sense of a made-up story. St. Augustine says that our Lord was referring to two actual people who did live, and were that the relatives of the rich man were probably there or known to his audience, and that's why he refers to him as the rich man and kind of anonymously, so that his family would not be ashamed or be brought to out of kindness. Our Lord just refers to him as the rich man. But there was actually, you know, these are two actual people, and our Lord is talking about their destinies after their life in this world, to give the example of, as our Lord always pointed out, you know, the to the Pharisees and to those who were his opponents the importance of charity to the poor and to think of others and to measure out to others what you want measured back to you. And this is a clear, you might say, example. Our Lord talks about theory, and now he gives us a story of an actual example of two people and their outcome after they left this world because they listened and followed the will of God, one of them, and the other one followed his own will. And we see that very clearly that Abraham, the rich man, is in a place of torment, whereas the Lazarus is with Abraham in a place of enjoyment, at least in a place that is not, it's a place of waiting for heaven. And our Lord spells out very clearly that it is a place that is of dire consequences, that you can't change it, as even if the rich man would like his suffering relieved, it can't be because there is a great chasm between the two. As we know that when judgment comes at the end of this world, that if one is judged for heaven or hell, that is a eternal decision. It's not like 10 years in hell you can get out. No. Purgatory is a place that is a temporary period. But hell, or the judgment of heaven, is a permanent judgment by God on the soul. And it's interesting in this passage that our Lord, you know, does give the name of Lazarus, because it does point to another passage in the gospel about our Lord's words, especially here, in reference to the family of the rich man. You know, he wants Lazarus to go and preach the gospel to them, or at least let them know of the consequences of the rich man's soul, so that his family would change their ways and not live like him, so that they could avoid this judgment as well. And our Lord says, no, they have Moses and the prophets. They already have what they need to know in order to change and to be converted. And the rich man says, no, if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. If they see something miraculous, like a dead man rising from the dead and going to them and telling them, you know, change your ways, they will change. And Abraham says, says to him, if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. And we're reminded of the other Lazarus, and when he rose from the dead, you know, the Pharisees saw this miracle worked by our Lord. Here was this man who was dead 4 days in the tomb, and he rises from the dead. And what do the Pharisees do? Are they moved to repentance? Are they moved to conversion? It says no. In the passage it says they wanted to kill Lazarus. That's how hard their hearts were. Here God works a miracle, raise a man from the dead, and their first thoughts are, we want to kill him. How hard sin has made their hearts and darkened their minds. So that we can see that, miracles, even with a miracle, one needs to have faith, one needs to have the grace to recognize and acknowledge the miracle and be moved by it. How many people witnessed the miracles at Lourdes or at Fatima and maybe went away with a hard heart and were not converted or did not change their lives? It may even be as we go, towards the end of the world, God may work other signs and wonders to move people to repentance. But if they are so hardened in their sin, even sometimes miracles do not affect or do not change people. We need to pray, as our Lord and our Lady said, especially at Fatima. What was the thing that needed to convert sinners was prayer and penance, that it's grace that they need, and we need to be mindful of that as we progress during this season of Lent, that we don't need to be praying that they get miracles, that they see them, but rather that they get the grace and be open to the grace to hear the gospel and the need to repent from their sins, whatever sins they're caught up in, and that they will have the grace to respond to that and change their lives before the time of judgment comes. For our Lord does clearly speak, and many times in the gospel, about the consequences of what lies at the end of our lives, the judgment, heaven or hell. And that, you know, this whole season of Lent is to help prepare us for the right choice, that we will truly end up in heaven with our Lord, because we need to be repentant and turn away from our sin and be faithful to the gospel, and we will receive the reward of Abraham and the poor Lazarus. If not, we will end up like the rich man in a place of torment. This is how serious the whole message of the gospel is about, the salvation of souls. It's not about social work. It's not about only about feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. It's about saving souls. And all those things are important, but the real get down to the bottom dollar, you might say, of why we do Lent, why we're here, or why we practice virtue is to get to heaven and to avoid hell. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.